Warning, the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That's right. Thank you, Duke. You are once again listening to the Chili Dippers. I'm your host, Luke Disco Clark. On the other line for me, as always, is a man who once had 7 goals kicked on him in a premiership, David Cannon-Rolston. How you going, mate?
No.
What?
No, look, I've put up with these long enough and I'm happy to be embarrassed and have stuff told about me. That's just an out-and-out lie.
That's an out-and-out lie, is it?
That is an out-and-out lie.
You're calling our listeners liars now.
Yep, absolutely. That now. Oh, this is a disgrace, too. Because this bloke, now, what happened was we played in the premiership. Now, you're actually coming to the 20-year reunion of this premiership in a few weeks.
Yep.
And you will hear more lies than you've ever known, because these people, why they were great blokes, they are pathological liars. Now, what happened, we played in the premiership. I'd played on the wing and full forward all year. Our captain was full back and he wasn't very good. So we dropped our captain for the grand final and I got moved to full back because I was the only one with any discipline at all that might actually be able to stop the opposition's full forward, who was an absolute gun. He was a jet. He'd kicked 100 for the year. He'd killed it, all that sort of stuff. Now, what happened? Don't get me wrong. He got a bit of the ball, but I made him lead out to the boundary and all that, and he kicked a few points. Now, I reckon he probably kicked 2 goals, 5, maybe 2, 6.
So not seven goals.
Not 7 goals. No, he had a few shots.
Not 7 goals, 6 or 7 goals, 2?
No. 3 goals, 5 at best.
All right.
The problem was we didn't get a cup to win. You got a big shield, and the shield had, it had all the teams on it. And one team had put on their little shield, great team effort. Then one other team put something stupid. So we actually graffitied the back with Texter, and some idiot who I know who sent this in, it's Fixer.
Yeah. Shout out to the Jib boys.
Yeah. Wrote, Rolls had 7 goals kicked on him and we still won, sort of thing. And somehow it grew legs. And it's one of those things that's become an urgent legend and people actually believe it, but it just ain't true.
All right. Well, I will endeavour to find out the truth at the reunion in a few weeks' time.
All right. So remember that. Now, I was going to say what's on today's show, but before I do, I'm going to say, so we're going to try and do today something a bit different. We're going to try and do, sort of in air quotes, a live show. So no outtakes, no cuts. We're just going to power on through as if we were doing it live and didn't get a second shot at it. That about right?
That is correct. And speaking of outcuts, just so people know, we have been throwing. We went to the cinema the other day and we watched Deadpool, which is a Marvel movie. And at the end, they do the little outtakes at the end of the previews. At the end of the credits. A lot of people start walking out, others stay for the end, know it's going to happen. So I've thrown a couple of them in intentionally. A lot of people have actually been calling us and texting us thinking that we've done that by mistake.
Yeah, I got a few people saying, oh, you left the recorder on after the song and then we can hear you talking and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, no, you've done, that's a little reward for the people that listen all the way through the song. They just sort of cutting room floor stuff, a little bit of after-show and pre-show conversation.
Yep, and it may not be every week. It's just going to – we'll decide when we want to do it. And look, and I just want to apologise to a few of our listeners for the last few episodes for the little bit of swearing we had. We got a bit carried away after doing the Samuel L. Jackson top four. So we'll try to clean that up a little bit in the coming pods.
Oh, yeah, look, that's fair enough. It wasn't just gratuitous for the sake of it. It was relevant for the topic, but that's fair enough. We are a family show and we don't want to upset anyone, but that said, keep that in mind for the topic I bring up later.
All right. So let's start the pod. Today we're going to do, we haven't played any top 100s in the last few weeks, so we're going to do a bit of a flashback and we're going to review a course that probably, be fair to say, we've played more times than any other course on the planet.
I had a rough go through in my head. Ooh. I reckon I've played, and this is unbelievably conservative.
Yep.
I reckon I've played nearly 3,800 holes on this course.
Okay.
If not 4,000 or more. But yeah, I reckon it'd be close to 3,800 is the minimum number of holes I've played on this course.
Yes, okay. So the course we're doing is from our original hometown, Wangaratta, which is the course called Jubilee, it's known as.
Jubilee Golf Club, yes. The local course that we all love.
Yes, so it's like a little course set up in the foot of the Warby Ranges. So it's a very picturesque sort of course, sort of up and down hills.
It is up and down, but it's weird. The weird thing about it is that it's all on that slope.
Yeah.
Everything's sloped towards Wang because it's right on the side of the course there. But look, as I said, so we'll do it as we normally do. First impressions, because what's good about it is, if you've got people from out of town or overseas, which I've had friends from,
yes,
you take them up there and you get the kangaroos and the view and all that sort of stuff. You know, your first impression is really good as you drive in because good rustic cutout course there. But then again, it passes the first hole test.
The first
hole is
really good. And even the drive in, when you pass the 17th green from the road, It actually looks really good as you drive. And if you'd never played it before, you would think it was actually a higher rank course than it actually is.
Exactly. No, that's fair enough. And you're right. The first beautiful open driving hole gives you a good look at it downhill, then uphill to the green. Now, as I said, I've probably played that hole a couple of hundred times. I've had a two on that hole.
You've had a two?
Yeah, hit a 7-iron in. You know how it goes to the valley and then up the hill? Just hit a normal drive sort of up the left edge.
Yeah.
Hit the 7-iron in, made a 2, was playing with me brother Steve. I think you had 9. So I'm thinking, beauty, I've got a 7-shot lead on him. After the hole, he goes, we'll play match play, 1 hole or nothing.
Yeah, I've heard that story, and that's fantastic. Yeah. I remember you having a 5 on that hole.
I had 5 putts
on the green.
Yeah, well, look. That's the greens can be tricky.
Yes.
And I reckon if you ever wanted to take money off someone and you know Jubilee and they don't, take them to Jubilee. You could, if it's the first time you're playing it there, no matter how good you were at golf, you take a lot of money off someone because those greens can look flat and they can turn sideways going towards
I've said it on many occasions. On the third green there, that the dogleg right, I've said to a lot of people, if you put your ball to the front left of the green and the pins on the back right, I've always said I'd like to see Tiger Woods or, you know, Spieth or any of the pros place this ball here and putt here without knowing anything else. I just couldn't imagine anyone picking it correctly the first time without any local knowledge.
That would be really good to get a really good golfer playing there the first time and see if they can read them greens because the same. The next par 3 is really tricky and there's a couple on the back 9, I reckon about 15 or 16, that can look flat. Oh, I've seen the worst putt in history on the worst putt in history on 16, that really short par 4 that you can reach if you hit it. Scotty McCormick hit it to the back of the green, and it was off the green by a foot. But the hole was right at the front, so that's probably another, 15 metres to the hole.
Right.
But it was all downhill, so he only just had to tap it to get it on. So he's got a foot of fringe to go to and 15 metres of green. He hit it 30 centimetres. He didn't get it on the green. Oh, it looked funny. He just tapped it because he was terrified of the pace.
Yeah.
That is, I reckon, in all the golf I've played, still the worst putt I've seen in history.
Yeah. And look, for a course in Wangaratta, it's very picturesque. It's fairly pretty. The front nines, there's probably no course on the planet where the two nines are on opposite ends of the scale. Like we probably played, like I said, if we played that course, if you played it 100 times and you only play 9 holes, you'd play the front probably 95 times.
Oh, I was wondering what number you'd go with there. I was going to say 80.
I thought I was being generous saying 95.
So with that, the signature hole, and I reckon will be the same. It's clearly the 6th.
Yes,
where you've got the tee, and you're looking back over Wangaratta down the road, and
down
all that
over the Victorian Alps, sort of out the back there. And look, I agree. That's what I've got written down here. And a honourable mention to I was trying to think of as you were saying that what number was on the back. Funnily enough, that par 3 that comes down the hill with a little bit of water to the right.
12
is it? Yeah, that's also a good looking hole.
Yeah, it is. And I like the path. That is a nice downhill par 3. The 8th's a downhill par 3, which is very good. But the 17th's one of the tougher par threes getting around, 204-metre par three.
Yeah, that is tough, yeah.
And that's a tough way to finish. Yeah. Now, I'll give a why I was hanging shit on Scotty McCormick. I'll say something nice about Rob Pinozzo, our favourite golfer, Snoz.
Yep.
At one stage was the only man alive to have a hole-in-one on the 17th.
Really?
Yeah, yep, yep. There was four people that had done it ever, and he was one of them, and the other three guys had died.
Oh, okay, yeah, I see where you're going. Yep, that's where I was going to try to, I was going to pull you up. So he's not old enough to be that. Yeah, okay.
No, the old
guys. So he outlived him.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, Snoz did it when he was about 16 or 17. So since then, in the last 20 years, others have done it. But yeah, no, at one stage there, Snoz was the only man alive to have a hole in one on 17. That's a pretty good call, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fantastic, yeah.
The other thing I'd like to mention about Jubilee is the pro there who's been there a long time, Ash. I don't even know Ash's surname.
Neve. Ashley Neve.
Yeah. He's just one of the nicest blokes in the world.
He is very nice. Very nice indeed.
He couldn't be friendlier and nicer or more helpful in everything he ever does. From the dealings I've had with him, I'm a huge rep for him.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yep, and the other thing I loved, the ninth hole there, the short par. Now, when did you last play Jubilee? Have you played Jubilee since you've been fairly handy at golf?
I played in what was that? Yeah, it was some sort of a special tournament there, special
but
day there.
Once off, you haven't played it three or four times or twice in a week? Because I used to play it three times a week for a year, basically. I played it that, and the ninth there, you'd be having... You'd nearly have 7-iron into the ninth, which is second. It's a par five.
Yep.
I used to have 5-iron in when I could play it, sort of thing, and it was great. You're thinking beautiful. You know, I'm 3 or 4 over with one to go, and you're just a birdie or eagle chance every time on the ninth.
I used to find it a lot of times if you sliced your drive off the tee and somehow cut that corner, it's actually the play. It's actually your better shot.
I did that 1,000 times. I sliced me because I'd try and belt it as far as I could. And if I missed, my miss was a slice. You could get through there for sure. Yeah, so that was a good. You know, I didn't like 7 though. 7, the uphill walk. Yeah. I was always bugged by 7, and you'd have to go back up the hill.
Yeah, there's a lot of walks like that on that. So yeah, the 10th. I don't like on these podcasts. I like to say too many bad things about golf courses, but we can nearly take the 10th out of the equation when we're talking here because it's one of the worst greens. And that the long walk up that hill,
the walk up the hill, and also the tee doesn't line you up to the fairway. I hate starting on the 10th. It's impossible to get a decent drive away on the 10th if you're starting on it. And the green can be unplayable at some stages.
It is.
They've redone it. I think they've made it half the size.
I think they've done it themselves too, which is never a good idea.
Yeah, no,
you know what I always try to do on the 10th? I never try to outdrive people in the golf. On the 10th, my goal is to outdrive everybody because walking up that hill, generally you've got a Mars bar or a Snickers in your hand, so you're walking, and that makes you extra puff as you're walking up. I want to be the last person to hit when we get up there because I just got to catch my breath.
Oh, mate, I get to me ball and say to everyone, look, yeah, I'm having a break here. I'm getting my breath back. I agree with you. But overall, for a local course like that, it said we used to duck down after work, daylight savings, play that front nine. Me and Scotty would play that front nine in an hour and 15 minutes sort of thing. We'd fly around. I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic home course to grow up on.
I agree with that. So we'll probably, on that note, we'll probably end the... Jubilee golf course part of this podcast.
I think we've covered Jubilee pretty well, and given all the locals an idea there, that's a good idea. Well, how about we get to a few of the bigger tournaments during the week?
What you got?
The US Women's Open. I caught a bit of that on the weekend. Did you see any of that?
I didn't. I was in Ballarat all weekend. I actually stayed on a golf course but never got to play it. How bad's that?
That's no good. Now, so before we discuss it, I need to ask you two questions.
Right.
And they're not rhetorical. I genuinely need an answer.
Okay.
Do you agree political correctness has gone mad?
Yes.
Yes, all right. Do you agree you can call someone fat and that doesn't make you the devil or a bad person necessarily?
I agree it should, but I don't think that... is the case.
That it should make you the devil if you call someone fat, or it shouldn't?
No, I agree it shouldn't make you the devil, but I think a lot of times people do think that way.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, as I said, I'm, I don't, I had a choice to watch the men's and the women's, and I watched the women's. I find the women's golf very enjoyable.
Yeah.
They're tremendous athletes. They bang at a mile, that sort of stuff. The problem is there was two of the girls in the top 10 there, and one of them might even be the best golfer in the world. She's a really big girl.
Yeah, I know you're talking about, yep.
And look, but the thing, good. If she wants to be that size, good luck to her. You're a professional. Are they athletes? Surely the men's golf these days, they're big, strong, gym rat, muscly. Surely she would be a better golfer. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to be mean, but she's obese, and she'd actually be borderline, technically, morbidly obese. She is that big. Surely if she lost 10 to 15 kilos, she'd be a better golfer. Is that true?
Yeah, I've often thought that. And look, this just isn't the women either. This goes for men as well. Like, you know, you look at your dailies and that sort of stuff as well.
But it just happened. I was watching the women on the weekend, and no, as I said, I don't get me wrong. I'm happy to be mean and hang shit on people. I'm not trying to be mean to this girl at all, and in particular. But could, as a professional golfer, could she lose 10 kilos, and would that make her any better? Surely flexibility, body turn.
Yeah.
You've got to get tired at the end of your 17, 18 holes sort of thing. Would that make a difference?
Oh, look, I think so. Maybe, yeah, the exercise might help with the power sort of side of things. But you're right. Like, just, and you would think, like, they do a lot of walking. Like, you would think just out of natural habit, it'd be hard to gain the weight.
And flexibility and fitness. But, yeah, you would just, I said, yeah. It was really stunning these days. You get in the older days, there was even a lot more fatter blokes playing golf. There was like the Warris, what was his name, whatever, and they were big, heavy blokes and whatever. And that was the thing. They used to smoke on the course and they'd whatever. But now they're all eating bananas and their sort of stuff. So, yeah, it just really caught my eye, and I noticed that, don't you know, it was a great tournament. I really enjoyed it. And she's obviously amazingly good at golf. That part of it's not a problem. But you would think if you were, you know, your living was playing golf, which is an athletic pursuit, you'd lose a few kilos?
Yeah, look, I'm hearing you. It would be interesting to see if she decided to do it and dropped the weight, what it actually would do for a golf game.
And does she just hook into three pizzas straight after the round, or?
Rightio. Righto. What was the other tournament?
Speaking of that, did you know there's a dim, this is for you, not her, there's a dim sim festival in Melbourne in a couple of weeks. You'll be down to that, won't you?
Oh, hang on, let me give me a pen and write this down. Hang on. Dim
sim. A dim sim and dumpling festival.
Festival. Let me underline that.
You don't get me wrong. As I said, I'm not, it's the pot calling the kettle black. I even know when I put on 10 kilos, my golf swing changes.
When I put on 10 kilos, you just... You just regularly put on 10 kilos, do you?
Yeah, I do. The other tournament that caught my eye was the PGA event, the Memorial.
The Memorial, yep.
Right, now, did you see the guy who won that?
I didn't. Again, I didn't see a lot of it, but I followed the scores a bit more on this one.
Well, Bryson DeChamberbeau was his name.
Was it?
Yep.
Yep.
Now, the interesting thing about Bryson DeChamberbeau is all his golf clubs are the same length.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know that.
His irons from 4-iron through to his wedges are all 37 and a half inches, which is about the length of your and my 7-iron.
Yeah, okay.
That is stunning. He's the only guy on tour that does it. It was his idea. Like, his drive, he carries driver, 3-wood, 5-wood. And they're all normal lengths of what we would think.
But all his irons are the same.
And he's got a 39-inch putter, which is a lot longer than usual. Our putters are about 34 or 35 inches.
Yeah, right.
His is 39, and he holds a lot of the handle above his hands. But, yeah, all his irons are the same length. He reckons it just so he can have the same swing plane and all that sort of stuff. And they're talking that now that he's won this fairly big tournament, it might catch on more with the average golfer in the park, like me and you.
Yeah, okay. Well, it'd be interesting. They're the sort of things we should do if we could get a hold of some clubs and do that. Because I was cleaning out the garage the other day and found a couple of the really old school wooden 3-woods with the screws. And I'm thinking I'd love to get a couple more of these and actually go out and play around and come back and report on how we hit them and what it felt like and that sort of stuff.
Well, my old man in the shed has got about five or six of those old persimmon woods and two or three of the really early metal woods. So next time we're home and we've got some time, I'll grab them and we'll go hit our drivers and hit them and see how much harder it
play
is.
The front nine, or play the front nine with our clubs and back nine with those clubs or vice versa and see what it does to the scores.
Yep, we'll have a look at that. Yeah, that'll be interesting. So he has big jumbo grips on all these wedges, to all these irons for the weight and all that.
See, I'd like that.
Yeah, I just found that very interesting. Big jumbo grips and all his irons are the same length.
Yeah, okay. Just look at this tournament, though. You look at the field, and you would think that this was a major event. Like, you know, that just shows you, you know, Jack Nicklaus has obviously put this event on, and people, because of him, showing their respect and coming. Like, you know, you got Rose, Fowler, DJ, McIlroy, Woods, Jaita. They're all playing in it.
Oh, yeah, big tournament. Yeah. One of the not the majors, but, yeah, they have sort of a handful of tournaments that are sort of just under the majors, and that's one of them, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a little bit enough golf chat on this golf podcast.
One more quick one. That was relative to... No, you're right. Let's go.
Sure.
Yep. Now, see, that's the sort of thing, if we had an edit, we'd be able to edit out. But
we're not going to. We're going to fly straight onto a segment. What segment are we doing, Rolls?
We haven't done a What's Better in ages. Let's do a What's Better.
Pause
for you to cut in the intro?
Yep, right now.
What's better? Steamed or fried? Kylie or Danny? Chicken or beef?
Isn't that a good intro? All right, now, what's better? We haven't done what's better for a while because I've close to exhausted all the what's betters.
Oh, have you?
As in, we've compared everything to everything. So this is a stretch.
Right.
This one. This is a what's better, who wins. It's a fighting what's better.
Okay.
So I've got something versus something, and we have to decide who would win that fight.
Okay.
All right. So, as I said, I've got them here. I did this a while ago, so I can't remember who I decided who won. So you could go well at this if you can make a good argument.
Right.
So the first one is a T-Rex versus two great white sharks, but the fight is in water.
How deep's the water?
The water is up to the T-Rex's neck.
I still reckon the T-Rex would win that.
Wow. See, now, there's the thing, though. The venue is very important to who wins a fight.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I get that. I nearly went that way, but I just still think that
the T-Rex is a good argument.
The shark bite, I don't think would once the shark would have to bite the T-Rex a lot of times, which it probably would before the T-Rex would only have to get one. Once the T-Rex goes down and chomps it and lifts it up, swings right, that shark's gone.
Good argument.
Yeah, so I think in the long run, I think the T-Rex would get there.
So two great whites. If it was four or five great whites, then you'd go to the sharks?
Yeah.
But the T-Rex wins that. All right, good. All right, now, so we've got a big crocodile fighting two emus in a dry, muddy dam.
In a dry, muddy dam?
So the dam is out of water, but it's still muddy and just, you know, got an inch of water in it, like a dam, an old little lake. Oh, you know what
I couldn't see the emus winning that one. I think I'm going the crocodile.
Crocodile, yeah.
Big crocodile. I haven't seen an emu whoop anything. Like,
didn't you see an emu beat up Homer Simpson on The Simpsons the other day?
I'm sticking with the crocodile, I think. For the same reason. What's emu going to peck him to death?
I know. Emus have got really big, strong feet and like they've got 3-inch claws on their feet.
Yeah, I still don't see that getting through the crocodile skin, though.
Oh, and mobility, you know, the eagles can duck and weave.
Yeah, again, it comes down to that one chomp versus a thousand little ones.
So you're a one chomp, you're a knockout one. Guy.
Yep.
You know, in the history of the world...
Probably not.
There's never been an emu observed to put its head in the ground.
That doesn't surprise me, actually.
Yeah, you know how everyone thinks emu never actually been observed ever.
Yeah, right.
All right, now we've got Ed Sheeran fighting a million bull ant in an empty pool.
Ed Sheeran fighting a million bull ants.
Yeah, a million bull ants would weigh about 100 kilograms, and Ed Sheeran weighs about 100 kilograms.
And they're in attack mode, I'm assuming. They know it's a fight.
They know it's a fight.
My God. If that'd be the worst way to go. There wouldn't be too many worse ways. There's that scene in Indiana Jones where the big bull ants drag that guy down. I might have to back the bull ants here.
Yep, ants win that one.
Yeah, too many.
Ed's not much of a fighter. Like, if it was Mike Tyson or someone.
He's going to throw right hooks at him.
Yep, he is. Yep, Ed's no good. So you got that right as well, yep. All right. Greg Norman versus Tiger Woods in a Bunnings.
In a what?
In a Bunnings warehouse.
Bunnings. Good spot for a fight.
Like a Mitre 10, yeah.
Greg Norman versus Tiger Woods.
Yep. All right. So Greg's 60. I've got Greg is 60 years old now and Tiger, however old he is.
I'm backing in the shark here. I think Norman be a bit older, a bit cagey, and the age isn't a factor because he's still fit as all buggery.
And Greg's a great handyman. Greg'd know his way around a Bunnings way better than Tiger Woods would as well.
Been around longer, and I reckon seen a few more things.
Norman wins that. All right, a cow versus four sheep in a field of long grass.
Jeez, this would be a long fight. This would go forever.
This could go for a while.
A cow versus four sheep.
Yep.
Oh. Jeez, it nearly come down to who outlives. What animal lives longer?
Who lives longer? No. Cows live longer than sheep, but no.
This is going to go against me, big chomp theory, but I think the sheep win that.
Yeah, you're killing it. I agree. The four sheep win that.
Yeah, I think they just weigh him down too much. It'd be a lot of body shots. And by all reports,
they jump behind. They two at the back, two at the front. Yeah, sheep.
Oh, one big kick. Yeah, anyway, Sigmund.
Yep. A polar bear versus 95 crows in a forest.
What's a forest matter?
Well, the polar bear's not on ice. If it's on ice, the crows lose.
Look, I'm tipping the crows aren't fighting from the ice.
Yeah, but they'd be cold and the polar bear would feel better about himself.
Yeah, fair enough. Home court advantage.
Yeah.
Polar bear, how many crows?
95.
95.
Yep.
95. Yeah, the crow. Cause I don't think the crows would get that because, again, it weighed him down because the polar bear, it'd take a fair swipe of the polar bear, whether he's going fist or mouth, to get one of the crows. And I just reckon one after another attack mode, I think again, the crows would weigh him down.
Death by a thousand cuts. Yeah. I can't believe how well you're doing on these. Oh, no, this is one we've actually discussed before.
Oh, yeah.
Serena Williams.
Yes.
At her peak.
Yep.
Versus you in a boxing.
Beat the pants off her. It's not even a discussion.
Smash it a bits?
Smash it a bits. There is no way in the world. I don't care how big and strong she is. I would. That wouldn't last long.
All right.
I would drop her quick.
I tend to agree with you, but I know many on that night disagreed.
Yeah, many on that night disagreed that even in like in an arm wrestle, not just me, that's how it started, and that I can cop. Yeah. But then when it switched to boxing, my God.
Yeah.
On.
Yep. All right. 45 chickens versus 2 foxes in your house.
The foxes would get that.
2 foxes beat 45 chickens, do they?
Yeah, I reckon the 2 foxes do. Yep, especially in my house because there'd be chickens down. So I don't think the chickens would all attack at once.
Chickens are pretty unorganised. Yeah,
that's right. So I think that the foxes would be a lot smarter, slyer, and more tactics involved.
I didn't know the answer to that, but I'll have to give you. You sound like you know that. All right, peak Steven Seagal, or Seagal. Yep, versus peak Van Damme. Ooh. And it's in a bar. It's in a pool hall.
Yeah, it should be in a bar.
Yeah, that's exactly where it would be.
You got to go, Seagal. You just couldn't hit him.
Seagal wins, mate, every time.
Yep.
And the tricks he can do with the pool balls and the cues and all that sort of stuff. He's the man.
And Van Damme probably drunk at the time too. He's always drunk in the bars.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, what's this one? Writing's gone bad. Oh, so we've got four gorillas.
Ooh, yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yep. Versus a rhino and a hippo that are teamed up together. And they're in a swampy marsh.
Swampy marsh? Are they tag team or they? Or there's, they
that's go... all in together.
Right, eh?
But but four gorillas are going, a rhino and a hippo that are working together.
Oh, the rhino and the hippo. I'm going to have to back the rhino and the hippo again. Four gorillas, I said at the start, four, it would be tough to beat four gorillas in anything, but the rhino, just too thick skinned. I just couldn't see the gorillas doing too much. Like those things that, yeah.
You know, a hippo's skin can weigh a ton, just its skin. It can be up to 4 inches thick.
Of course I don't.
You didn't know that?
No.
That's stunning. I can't believe you didn't know that. You know, they sweat pink. Hippo's sweat is pink.
Yeah, oh, very good.
All right, now this is a gang fight. We've got four guys on unicycles with samurai swords.
Are they ninjas or just regular people?
Regular unicycle riders.
Yep, yep.
Versus six guys in full scuba gear, and they've got small shields and squash rackets. And the fight is taking place in a skate park.
So, if the... If the...
Did you not have this a long time? I must have been... We're getting to the bottom of the list here, mate. I don't know what's going on.
So, hang on. So the ones on the unicycles, yep. Once they fall off, do they got to get back on? They can't fight
Yeah,
off.
They do. They've got to be on unicycles at all time. And they've got samurai swords. And we've got six guys in full scuba gear. But they've got, like a good short, small shield and a squash racket. Oh, wow.
Jeez, I just...
I'd love to see that fight.
Oh, I think... I'm trying to think of which side I'd rather be on. Well, I can't ride a unicycle, but if I could, I think I'd rather a sword in my hand, I think.
A shield and a squash racket?
Yeah, I suppose.
The good shield, yeah. I'm back in the six guys in scuba gear.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Yeah, because the face, the goggles would protect them from samurais to the face. And the thick, heavy plastic
What are they made of?
Plastic and glass? Oh, wow. All right, now we've got one more.
Good, one thank more, God.
That really should be the end of it. But somehow we've got one more. I've got 180 ducks teamed up with 20 swans to fight a giraffe and four possums. Oh, wow.
The ducks and how are they going to hurt the giraffe?
And where is it going to take place? I haven't got a venue for that. That's on a busy highway.
That changes everything. That's advantage giraffe, because cars would swerve around the giraffe.
Yep.
But they wouldn't necessarily. They'd probably try to swerve around a few of the ducks, but they'd start hitting them. So they're actually going to start getting taken out.
Without... And the other thing, the four possums make the difference. Possums don't lose fights.
Okay.
Yep. So the giraffes and four possums beat the 180 ducks and 20 swans.
That's true. I remember.
Wow! Isn't that an education we've provided for our listeners, in case they're ever in a foreign country and there's some weird fighting going on and some gambling, and now they know who to back yeah. when they come across those fights.
Or if they're in some trouble, get some possums on your side.
Yeah, possums don't lose fights.
Yeah, I remember the one that definitely didn't lose that fight against Bushy that time we were camping when it bit him on the finger.
There you go. Wow. I need to come up with some proper, genuine what's betters, don't I?
That was all right.
What's the clock at?
The clock's at 34 minutes.
34 minutes. That sounds like a show to me.
That sounds like a podcast. So any other little things you want to discuss, talk about?
There was one little thing, just quickly. Mm-hmm. There was a gym in London put up a sign the other day, sick of being fat and ugly, join the gym, just be ugly. And I thought that was fair and clever and funny. Apparently the town cracked the shits and made them take it down.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
Not good enough by the town?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep.
Maybe they maybe that gym needs advertised at the Women's
PGA. Open. No. There you go. That's all I've got, mate. You got anything?
No, not really. Not really. Just this is our 35th show. Can you believe we've done 35 shows?
I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking, have we gone for a year yet? But then I thought, if we do a show a week, we probably haven't.
No.
But yeah, that's
funny.
Yeah.
Like when we first thought about it, I was saying, oh, look, we'll be lucky to get to 10. That's what I was telling people.
I was always saying we'd be lucky to get to 10 listeners. That was my big thing.
Yeah. Yep.
But no, 35 shows, that's fantastic. Well, yeah, one to go, and we've done, that's the par 36, that's the front nine.
That's it. Oh, actually, one thing before we go, I want to mention is shout out to the Curlewis Golf Club who took our, when we rode those little skate caddies or skateboards around their track, they took our video and they posted on their website, on their Instagram page, and mentioned that the Chili Dippers took the boards out for a ride and survived the round.
They got the only 8 seconds of comfortable board riding I did the whole day.
Did you see someone wrote in the comments about how comfortable we looked? And I replied, I don't know if you seen my reply, I said, one of us has wakeboarded and skateboarded and snowboarded his whole life, the other hasn't. We definitely weren't that comfortable at the early stages.
Oh, all through it, says so I wasn't, I wasn't comfortable at any stage. That's great that Curlewis has done that. Yeah, happy to help him out and see us out and about. That was good.
Yeah, all right. So we'll leave this podcast here. So as always, jump online, leave us a review if you can. Follow us on Instagram. Send some questions in if you've got any. Any last words, Rolls?
No, mate, all good. Ham steaks for dinner tonight. I know everyone's always interested in what I'm having.
Okay. All right, we'll leave it here. Thanks for listening. We'll hand it over to Bruce Hornsby in the range. Chili Dippers out.
Strong, but I'm feeling no pain. Got an old brown bag, big sticky on the back, but the grass don't grow, gonna take a few hacks. There's a place for you if you're just like me. Armchair grits yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. With a little bit of pay, but I feel no pressure. Couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash. Take another good hit, try to make it last. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm chair boys yelling at the TV. 20 boys in a row, and I'm getting shirts. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt.
The what?
Yeah, were you expecting that sort of thing when I was telling you who fought who?
Pretty much exactly what I was expecting.
Oh, no. Oh, gee.
Your pens exploded.
Oh, that got loose at the end.
It did.
Yep. Yeah, that was good. The review was good. As I said, I didn't want to be an asshole about the fat thing, but you should, that's the thing, you should be able to discuss that.
Yeah.
Without being an asshole sort of thing.
Yeah.